Welcome. Welcome to the house of God. Welcome to the community chapel. We are excited that you are here today. We are in the middle of a series called Decently and in Order. And this entire series we've based off of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it is on the premise of church order. So everything that we've talked about over the last 3 weeks and then again this week is based on what we believe God has called the church and order inside the church to look like. So I'm excited about jumping into this series today, or to this last week, but I just kind of want to recap a little bit. You guys know I like to recap. So week one, we talked about tongues and about how it is for today. We believe it is for today, and we believe that it is for power, and that it, in order for it to be done in the church, we believe that there needs to be an interpretation of that tongue, right? Because it causes balance and it causes order. So if you're going to give a tongue, we ask that an interpretation follow that. And I'm going to give you a little story for instance of that. So we talked about tongues inside the body of Christ. Now, for personal edification, if that's something that you do personally, that's personal between you and the Lord, we believe that it edifies you and builds up your spirit, man. And so we want you to do that. That is a gift that we want you to stir up those gifts because it builds you up in your most holy place. The second week we talked about prophecy, and I talked about how we get in this pattern sometimes of where we divert. We want to be the one, right? We want to be the one to give the word, or we want to be the one, or we want to have our glory day or our moment or whatever. And so sometimes what happens is we get out of balance, right? It can get out of balance. And we talked about how a couple of years ago, there were prophets coming out of the woodwork talking about who was going to be elected and what sports team was going to happen and what this was going to happen. And most of them were wrong, right? And so they had to give out an apology for their wrong prophecy. But we believe that if you're led by the Spirit and God has called you, then that word is confirmed. And that even if it might not necessarily come out at that moment, that it'll keep. Because the word in Jeremiah, we read that word and how, man, years and years and years later, how many years later are we removed from Jeremiah? And that prophetic word is still applicable today. That's how God works. It's still for today. The third week, last week, Richie talked about women in ministry. And I thought this was so great because he really did dive into that role of how God has called us to complement and to come alongside of, right? That's the role of a woman, for us to come along and complement. What's funny is that some people interpret that as women don't belong in speaking in church. I'm just gonna look this way for just a second. Because at this church, we wanna use all the gifts and all the people. And we believe that everybody has a gift and everybody has value, and that if God has called you, you can submit that gift underneath the house, and that the Lord can work through you, right? Amen. It doesn't matter what your gender is, but it matters that you're submitted under the house and that God can use you. Did you know that 2/3 of Christians are women? So why would God call only 1/3 of the people? I'm going to leave it right there, and I'm going to walk away from it. Week four, we are talking about today church order. So we're going to kind of wrap it up, put a little pretty bow on it, and we're going to tie it up today. But why are we talking about this? What's the importance of this? And we believe it's because whenever the church is about to go up or level up, the Lord kind of shores up our foundation. Right? So if we're going to move up into what God has called us to, if we're going up into the next season, then he's going to reaffirm and shore up those practical principles. Are we in the word daily? Are we spending time with him daily? As a church, are we walking in order? Do we see that when someone comes into the church that they can see, okay, there's order in this house? Or is it chaotic and wild and someone's given a tongue and interpretation back there? Somebody's speaking a tongue. Somebody just ran around in circles around over here. Is there order to the service? We're not saying that the Spirit can't move. We want the Spirit of God here. We want the Spirit of God to move. But in the Sunday morning service, we want there to be order in that so that everybody is encouraged, not just you who ran around and now you're sweaty laying on the front row. We want everyone to be encouraged in the house of God. and that's what we believe. But how many times do we encounter someone who is on our team, right? We're all Christians, we all love Jesus, but we've got that one player on the team who wants to be wild and wants to be a little extra. And so what I love about the Word of God is how the Lord just brings that back into perspective and says, okay, can we submit that gift? And can we grow in that gift, right? So today I want to give us a couple of little questions to kind of just ask ourselves, where are we in that process of growing in our gift and using our gift to God's glory? And so I want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 12. And it says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us, underline this, so we can help others. That's the point. So we can help others. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge or a word of knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. That's how it is with the body of Christ. We each have been given spiritual gifts. And what I love about that whole chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is it talks about these gifts of help for the body of Christ. So each one of these is like considered a helps gift. We're meant to use those gifts to further along each other in our walk with Christ. As iron sharpens iron, so one man's countenance sharpens another. And that's how we use those gifts. Further along down, it goes into the fivefold ministry gifts. But all of those gifts, which I love, are all related to the local body of Christ. It's so important that we remember that, because each one of us by ourselves, we may be Squabarius, Jackson, Martardius, Wadiqua, we may be all of that. However, can we submit that gift under the body of Christ? Or are we such a lone ranger that we don't have to answer to anybody? That's a rough place. But I want to encourage you today, because I think if we just can ask ourselves these four questions, I think we can get somewhere in our walk a little bit further. The first question is this, what is your gift? What is your gift? Do you know what your gift is? Do you know how God has called you? When I read that 1 Corinthians 12, inside of that, what did you hear? Did you hear something like, I fit there, that's where I'm called, that's where God has, you know, created me in that way? And I think if we can look at that and say, where do I fit? What is my gift? Then we know how to better apply that gift, right? Okay, so the next question is this. Are you part of a local body? Are you part of a local body? Do you go to church regularly? Is that, you call this is my home church? And I know sometimes we're trying to figure out what's my home church look like? What are the people that I wanna do life with? How does that look? And I want to encourage you that 1 Corinthians 12 says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can encourage each other. So your gift is going to grow when you're in relationship with other people, when you're plugged into the local body, when God has called you and he set you apart and he's equipped you. Yes, he's given you those gifts. However, he's also called you to others. And sometimes we get in this notion or in this pattern of like, I'm a lone ranger, I fly solo. And the problem with that is you may not ever grow past that point. And I'm gonna tell you in a few minutes a little story about how that happened in my life. Question number three is, are you using your gift decently and in order? Decently and in order. Think about that for a second. Do you use your gift decently or in order, or do you not use your gift at all? For some of us in here, we may say, Missy, I don't know. Yes, this TCC is my home, but I don't know if I'm using my gifts. I don't even know maybe what my gifts are. If you don't know what your gifts are, I want to encourage you, sit with the Lord. He will give you direction. He will lead you in scripture, but also get around other believers. Maybe just start serving. Because as soon as you start serving, let me tell you this, as soon as you serve in the nursery, you're gonna be like, this is not my gift. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But seriously, when you start, or you may say, this is my home. This is where I love. My oldest daughter, she serves every week faithfully in the nursery. And we have, you know, kids and parents who say like, my kid only likes Mia. Like that's her gift. That's what she loves. She's called there. And she does an excellent job in that gift. But the third question for you today is this. Are you using your gift decently and in order? I want to tell you this story. And when I was 20, I changed churches. So I grew up in this church my whole life. And I told you guys a few weeks ago, we were wild. Like if someone wasn't hitting you with a flag or a tambourine in the middle of worship, you know, it wasn't church. If someone wasn't running around and speaking in tongues and I grew up in that. So the gifts were very natural to me. They were very normal. Like if this isn't what happens in your church, I'm sorry, but this is how we are. You know, like that's just how I grew up. So when God called me to go to a different church, Countryside, where I met Richie, mom and I had started going there. We were there maybe a couple of months. And someone on a Sunday night, someone stood up in the middle of worship and gave a tongue. And I'm used to this, right? I know this. I've experienced this in my life. So everyone gets quiet, right? But then what are we waiting on? The interpretation of that, right? So everyone's just waiting. And then there's no interpretation. And Pastor Lloyd, whom is, I believe, one of the most godly men I've ever personally met, love him. He's since passed away. But I remember hearing him say, sir, you're responsible for the interpretation of that gift. And I thought immediately, I was like, why would he do that? That's so embarrassing. Like, why would he do that to him? And remember, Countryside has thousands of people, okay? So we're sitting there. This is an uncomfortable moment. And I'm like, this is not the time to teach someone. Do you know what I mean? Like in front of all these people, it's like you get a spanking in church in front of all these people. And it's kind of like one of those moments where you're like, oh, like how fast can I scoot? Mom, scoot out of the pew. They're like, how fast can we scoot out? You know, because at that point in time, you're concerned the spirit's going to fall. Like something crazy is going to happen. Everyone's going to get slain. You know what I mean? Like we're just thinking about like what's going to happen here. So we're sitting there and he says, sir, again, you're responsible for the interpretation of that word. The Bible says that if you're going to give a tongue, you have to give an interpretation with that. So all of a sudden, someone in the choir gives a word. And I thought, dodge that bullet. And he goes, faithful effort, brother, but that wasn't it. Sir, you're responsible for the word. And I thought, how dare he? Seriously, like this is my thought process. Is like that was, you have no, I was so mortified by this. Remember, I grew up in crazy wild, right? So whoever wants to give a tongue interpretation and run around and beat people with a tambourine, it's fine. Just do that. So for this situation, order felt like discipline. And I think sometimes what happens in the body of Christ is when we ask for order, what we interpret that is, you're holding me to a box. You're trying to make me be something that God hasn't called me to be. And the truth is, we want you to actually grow. We want you to grow, but we want you to have accountability in that. And I will tell you that being in that situation with Pastor Lloyd, that moment right there caused me to dig into the word like I had never dug into the word before. And it caused me to question things that previously I just thought were okay. It caused me to question and say, why do I believe this? What's the reason for this? And I want to encourage you, church, that whenever you feel like the Lord has kind of redirected your thought process on something or presented something new, dig into the word and find out, is that from you, Lord? And what are you saying to me right now in this moment? Are you asking me to grow up a little bit and be mature in my faith and put away childish things so that I can be all that you've called me to be? instead of looking at it like discipline or he's putting a boundary around me, he's mad at me, he's angry at me, there might be an opportunity for you to grow in this moment. And I will tell you that that moment right there caused me to understand more about how to conduct myself on a Sunday morning than anything else I had ever experienced. And it caused me to recognize unhealthy. I want to put my kids in a situation where they're exposed to the gifts, but I don't want to put my kids in a situation where they're exposed to your fleshy carnal nature. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? What I mean, church, is that you can be spirit-led, but you can be in order. And a lot of times we go to churches and we see this. Either there's no spirit at all. We walk in and it's like nobody says anything, nobody does anything, everybody's robotic, blah, blah, blah. We don't even sing praise songs because it's irreverent. And we sit down, we stand up, we walk out. Right? That's some churches look like that. We go in other churches, like the one that I grew up in, and it's crazy and it's wild. And I had a coworker the other day, she goes, your husband's a pastor. You don't go to one of those churches like speak in tongues and stuff like that, right? And I was like, she goes, I went in a church like that and it scared me. And it was like, everybody was all over the place and my heart sank. And I thought, man, Lord, help me work through this. Help me pray through this with her, right? And so there's going to be opportunities for us as the body of Christ to do it the right way, for us to model and demonstrate the Spirit of God in the right way so that everybody's encouraged. Like we said a couple of weeks ago, we're not talking about prayer meeting. That's different. We're not talking about team rally. That's different. We're talking about Sunday morning. We're talking about the opportunity for non-believers to come into this house and to hear the word of God and to receive all that God has for them. We've prayed for them. We fasted for them. We fasted for you guys. Why would we ruin that opportunity to be able to speak truth into their life? Because we had some emotional breakdown that morning and we wanted to run around and lay ourselves at the altar. And then all of a sudden that person is like, I just couldn't get past it. I couldn't get past it. This is not about you. This is about him. And we want to remind ourselves of that. Like I could do everything I can to lead people, invite people to come to church. And you know how it is. We invite someone to come to church. And the moment that something weird happens, we're like, oh, why did it have to happen today? I invited my friend. They're not saved. Now they're going to have questions. And you're like standing there like, I don't even want to raise my hand anymore because I don't know what's going on. You know, like we do this, right? So when it comes to church order, we just want to make sure that on that Sunday morning that we have kept our gifts in check and that we are submitted to the Holy Spirit so that we are not out of balance and out of order, that we can truly and confidently say, this is my house. This is God's house, but I'm a part of that body. I know where I fit. I don't have to be extra. I don't have to be something that I'm not. If God gives you a tongue and interpretation, we want you to share that. If God gives you a word of knowledge, what did we talk about a couple of weeks ago? Share that with leadership. And then from there, you'll have an opportunity to share that. But we want everybody to be encouraged, everybody to be developed, everybody to be built. This is not the Richie Sarlo show. This church does not belong to us. This church belongs to God. And so if we all fit exactly where he's called us to fit, we don't have to worry about is so-and-so taken care of or not taken care of? Is their emotional needs met or they're not met? Because the body of Christ recognizes that. And we know we're such a tight-knit group of people that we can look out and see like, okay, so-and-so's not here. I got to make a phone call this week. Okay, this person's not here. I need to call somebody, right? But when we get into that habit of like, this is all about me and I got to sing the loudest and scream the loudest and run around the loudest, then we're out of order and we're out of balance. Band, if you would come. The last question is this. Is love your highest aim? Is love your highest aim? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that's how it starts off. It starts off is make love your highest goal. That's how the whole chapter starts. And then from there, he goes into church order and church doctrine, how it needs to happen, how service needs to happen. But in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the spiritual gifts, the fivefold gifts. He talks about those helps gifts that we talked about. And then in chapter 14, where we are, he talks about you know, just church order and church discipline. But sandwiched in between those two chapters is the most famous book of the, or chapter of the Bible about love. And I think that's so important. And I want you just to understand that for a second, church, that you can have your gifts and you can use them in the body of Christ, but we have to make love our number one priority. Our number one priority. That means love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It doesn't fail. If we keep that as the very center of what we're doing, then we don't have to worry about, do I have a spiritual gift? Yes, you do. Do I fit into the body of Christ? Yes, you do. Can I use that gift in the body of Christ? Yes, you can, if it's done with love, right? So everything that I do, if it's seasoned with and tempered with love, then God's gonna get the glory, not me. I don't have to worry about, is someone gonna recognize my gifts and my talents? Because that's not what this is about. It's not about me, it's about him. So I just wanna encourage you in that today, church. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your presence that's here. God, I thank you that, Lord, this song that we sang this morning, seek first the kingdom, seek first your kingdom, God, and all will be added. Lord, I thank you that that's an order that you've established. Seek first your kingdom, and then all these things will be added. God, I thank you that as we keep our heart postured towards you, that as we keep our thoughts fixed on you, God, that you add to our life, God. I thank you that you are not in the process, God, of taking away and stripping and disciplining, God, without there being a purpose for it. So I thank you that today, as we wrap up this series on order and church order, God, I thank you that you've positioned each one of us, Lord, that you've commissioned our hearts. God, that you've put your spirit inside of us. Lord, I pray that you would show us exactly where you've called us to fit in your body. I pray in Jesus' name that pride, that arrogance, that lack of humility would go. And I thank you that in its place, God, that you're putting your peace. I thank you that you're putting your love and soundness of mind, God. I thank you that you have not called your people to be erratic in their thinking, God, but that you've called us to be stable. I thank you that as your body, Lord, as we move forward into whatever you have for this church, whatever you've called us to do, God, I thank you that we're gonna have stability in that. I thank you that we're not gonna be wishy-washy all over the place. God, that we're gonna use our gifts and our talents to glorify you and you alone. And I thank you that as we glorify you, God, that love is going to be our highest aim, our highest goal. We praise you and we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.